Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, presented to you by your local Hyundai dealers. You're listening to Chicago's number one sports station. 670 The Score is Chicago Sports. Chicago Sports is The Score. An Odyssey station. WSCR and HD Chicago. WBMX HD2 Chicago. The Score! Mully and Hall. Live and local, Chicago sports talk for your morning on 670 The Score.
The one thing that Ryan and I and myself, because I'm in that during the season, it's going to be myself making the decision, is you understand that whatever decision is made, it's not going to be made because of Matt Nagy. It's not going to be made because of Ryan Pace. It's going to be made because of it's best for the Chicago Bears organization and it's best for Justin Fields. And so I think we all... Again, all of us live in that instant gratification world where everything, you know, we want it to happen right away, right now. But there's so many steps that go into this process of making sure that we do this thing the right way with Justin, for Justin and for the Chicago Bears. I feel very confident in the coaches that we have around us to be able to develop him with a great strategy of things that we've done in the past and things that we're going to change moving forward this year with that. But we got to make sure that we all understand if and when that time does come for Justin to be ready, and we don't know how that may happen, that he is ready. Because the worst thing we can do is put him in when he's not ready and ruin him, and which ruins the Bears. And so we want to make sure that we do this so that he has a very successful entry into this league. He plays with confidence. He's a winner, which he's always been. And then ultimately, in the end, he's the best thing for the Chicago Bears, plain and simple.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. That's Matt Nagy. He's the head coach of the Chicago Bears, and he was on with Colin Cowherd on FS1. The Herd is the name of the show, which is a good name. You would hate to have the show called The Cow.
Yeah, The Cow would be unfortunate, but, yeah, for all concerned.
But Cowherd, The Herd, good. It's good. It's good stuff. And Matt Nagy was interesting. It was fun to get to listen to the coach talk a little bit about the plan. And he reminded you that when you get into the season, he's the guy making that decision in terms of when the quarterback plays. Dan Bernstein is arguing, you know, he wants him from day one. He wants him lining up. They're better with Justin Fields. And he's used some, I think, false comparisons. And you know, we don't have crosstalk today, so I feel really comfortable questioning Dan right now because he can't defend himself to me. He'll call me. No, but his comparison is Troy Aikman,
Peyton Manning.
And I don't think it's a good comparison because the Bears are in a different position than those teams were. This is a Bears team that was picking 20th because they actually finished 8-8 and made the playoffs a year ago. They're very proud of it. Yeah. They didn't win a playoff game. I thought they could win the playoff game because I thought the Saints looked like a team that were falling apart and kind of out of gas and not connecting. And I was right about the Saints, just not against the Bears. Bears played one half against them. They had the defense playing well, but they didn't have any offense. I would hate, Matt, to see Matt Nagy leave Chicago without ever being able to run his scheme because he never had a quarterback that he could work with. Now, they've gone through a lot of guys. They, you know, obviously he arrives here and part of the reason he was hired is because, oh, do you like Mitch Trubisky? Oh, yeah, I liked Mitch when he was coming out.
What are you going to say? No, you don't when you're getting a head coach
job?
Can
you work with him? Oh, I'll make him a quarterback. Exactly. So maybe there was a little disingenuousness in terms of whether or not he could make it happen with Mitch Trubisky. And certainly we saw a coach that became frustrated with that player. And certainly they went out and wasted a fourth round pick trading for Andy Dalton.
Nick Foles, yeah.
They wasted money with Andy Dalton. Maybe. Nick Foles, and then Foles came in. How quickly was Matt Nagy dying to get to Nick Foles? Because, my God, he's got the plays. He's got he wallpapers his house with them for the love of God. He sits in his office and he's got everything that you can imagine. I think Matt Nagy is probably a really good football coach. We've never seen him operate with a quarterback that could really operate a system. I don't know that we're gonna. I don't know that we're gonna this year. I don't know how quickly Justin Fields will adapt to things and how he can do. I think he's significantly better, an upgrade in talent from a guy like Mitch, and hopefully he can figure out mentally everything that's going on. That seemed to be one of the issues they had with Mitch, that he wasn't able to read and react, and he wasn't able to see things as quickly as you would prefer. Certainly his mobility helps and his great athletic ability helps. But I think what's really interesting is when you get to that second year, when you get to that third year, what does he look like running an offense like Matt Nagy's, Patrick Mahomes type of offense? Mm-hmm. Will we see that sort of thing unfold with the Bears? And when you watch what they're doing, they're bringing in a lot of these kind of wide receivers, slot guys, running backs that all can do the things we've seen happen in Kansas City. That seems to be the preference, as opposed to Allen Robinson, who, you know, what does he do? He just catches everything thrown near him, and he's got a huge window capability there. But it doesn't seem like what they want to do with that scheme, and we'll see how that all works out. But it's fascinating to think of what could come here with the right quarterback. I do think it's important to make sure that it's successful when it happens.
There's so much there. So you've got your Bernstein, who gives you that he should play from day one. I've got my Danny Parkins in the afternoon, who gives it to me the same way. But he doesn't use Aikman and Peyton Manning. He uses Justin Herbert and Joe Burrow.
Okay.
He uses Pat Mahomes and Lamar Jackson as two guys to win MVP in their second year in the league. He uses Russell Wilson as a guy to lead a team to a Super Bowl as a lowly paid rookie. And so the economic incentive as well to rush those guys in. And we have those kind of conversations. I am most interested in the person, Justin Fields. How does he learn? Is he a guy who's best suited to learn by playing and failing, or best suited to learn by watching? Is he a classroom guy or a on-the-field guy? And everything that we've learned about him, I think he's got the toughness and the mental toughness and the physical strength that he will be best suited to learn on the field. I feel genuinely about this specific person in a case-by-case situation. Let's look at the person. I think he's a guy who's going to be best suited to learn on the field. But then you think about, all right, what's the other context? So Parkins throws me Justin Herbert and Joe Burrow. The Chargers and the Bengals were not in the same spot where the Bears are, with a roster that's, I think the Bears believe their roster is better than the Chargers and the Bengals were going into last year, and that they could compete a little bit more. So does that mean you want the veteran quarterback who's going to give you a better chance to win for a little while at the beginning, and you don't want to put him in until he legitimately gives you a chance to win every single week? I think that's the way they're going to end up going about it. If I set the number, Mully, at 3.5 starts for Andy Dalton, do you go over or under 3.5 starts to begin the year for Andy Dalton?
Oh, I don't think Andy Dalton holds up. I think that Justin Fields plays, you know, maybe starts, 10, 11 games, something like that.
I think
the over-under is, you know, I think, here's what I think. You got a defense that is on the back end, okay? So they're aging as we speak. And it's great because they're a really good bunch, but they are aging. And you owe it to yourself to make sure that you're winning in the right now. This is a different situation.
Mm-hmm.
We used to think that the coach and the general manager were on win or else contracts. Now, I don't know if that speeds the young quarterback onto the field or if it slows it down.
But the roster is in a win or else spot, right?
That's what I'm getting at. I think that if you're waiting to win, you've got to win now, because how long is Khalil Mack going to be able to hold up? Is this the last year for Akeem Hicks? We're seeing him break down. you know, is Robert Quinn, he's on a one-year deal, basically, in my opinion. I think he's gone the minute the year ends. Can he have some sort of Indian summer here where he actually gets 10 sacks and all of a sudden you've got that pass rush that you envisioned because you got your guys healthy to start the year? I don't know if that's the case or not, but it seems like not drafting a cornerback, mm-hmm. not worrying about that position, and I get it. You know, they signed Trufant. I mean, is he going to be healthy? Is he not? The guy's making just over $1 million.
What about the kid they took in the sixth round who missed a year of injury? Listen. They think he's better than that. Thomas Graham.
Yeah, I love a good scratch-off card. you know, you're telling me, and I'm not saying he can't play.
I buy one every time I go grocery shopping.
But that's what you're doing.
I know.
That's what you're doing. And you know, you have no certainty at the position, including Jalen Johnson, who, you know, ended the year, he was hurt. Is he hurt? Is he healthy? How good is he? We don't know. There are questions on that defense, not the least of which is they got a new defensive coordinator. Now mm-hmm. he's got help there. He's gonna be able to bounce some ideas off of a very competent coordinator. But I think that the idea is that you've got a quarterback, you got to develop him, and you've got a team that you think can win now with the defense. And you got, by the way, you've improved your offensive line. You could conceivably run the ball.
Hmm.
They've got, you know, weapons coming back, and they've got a guy that ran the ball pretty well at the end of the year.
And you should, if you got Fields out there, you take some pressure off and run it.
And the interior of the line improved by the end of the season, although the schedule also turned. Now the schedule's tougher this year, right? And you're gonna have to figure out how to incorporate the extra game. I know it's one game, but it is an extra game. That's a big deal for teams. It's a longer season. You've got an older defense. You're going to have to keep people from breaking down. And meanwhile, you're developing a quarterback. So, I want to see the kid play like everyone else. I'm anxious to see it happen. But I agree with what Nagy said, which is you want his entry into the NFL to be a success, to be successful. You don't want to go into it and feel like you have to get him on the field because the other guy can't play. And listen, I'm not, you know, Andy Dalton, he said that he called Andy Dalton before the draft and told him that they were looking for a quarterback. It's possible they draft a quarterback. And Andy Dalton was cool with it. And then
I think that's a nice bit of courtesy, by the way.
I agree. Okay. It is a good bit of courtesy. Then he called him again after they drafted him. Called him that night, and he said that Andy Dalton is a competitor and was disappointed that, you know, they had done so, because, you know, it's, you know, take a guy at 11 and not try to get him on the field. So, you know, it is a question of time with whether or not Justin Fields starts the season. He starts during the season. He plays. I just don't know how quickly you have to get to it. I think everybody feels you got to get to it right away. And I think that that's, you know, I know we're all impatient for that to happen, but I also think that you owe it to everyone around you to make sure that you're winning
mm-hmm.
and you got to win. And then when you don't win, then you make the move and maybe that's when you start winning. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I think it's more complicated because it's not about the first five games of his career. It's about the next 10 years, 15 years, right? I mean, Aaron Rodgers, he's leaving now. He's mad. It's 16 years in.
Yeah.
So is this guy, have you finally got a quarterback that's going to be here for 15 years? And Green Bay is going to wonder, like, when is that guy leaving?
Yeah. And you know this, Molly, like the culture of the NFL is so specific in terms of it better be about winning. I remember Jason Kelce speaking eloquently on this as a member of the Eagles last year, talking about every decision should be about winning on the Sunday. And if you don't make that decision, you lose the room.
That's it.
And Doug Peterson lost the room. And so these guys, and the players will tell you too, right? Those players will tell Matt Nagy, even just by their actions and their body language and such, who they think is the better quarterback and who's ready to go to give them the best chance to win on a weekly basis.
All right, we're going to bring in Gary Ellerson. He's a radio talk show host, a former Green Bay Packer, and we'll ask him what he's hearing from his listeners and what he's hearing from the team. Aaron Rodgers gone, Bears on the rise. What's the take? Mully and Haw, he's Matt Spiegel, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
There was a report today that Aaron's condition on returning is that you're no longer the GM. Has that been communicated to you in any way with your communication with him, with Mark, or with anyone?
You know, Aaron hasn't said anything like that to me and certainly hasn't said anything publicly. So I think it's a little unfair to kind of, you know, put that on him. But, you know, listen, you certainly don't like to hear those things, but at the same time, it's kind of part of the gig in the National Football League. So, nothing's been communicated directly to me.
Mully and Haw, Matt Spiegel filling in for David this morning, and that is the voice of Brian Gutekunst, of course, the Packers general manager. And look, having the Hall of Famer call for your job, that's just part of business.
Just part of the game.
That happens everywhere, doesn't it?
Being dragged in the players' group chat.
Oh, boy.
Just part of the gig.
All right. We're delighted to welcome in Gary Ellerson of 1250 AM The Fan in Milwaukee. And Gary knows the Packers inside and out. And he joins us on the Al Pamani Nissan Hotline. Al Pamani Nissan in Melrose Park on North Avenue or apnissan.com. Gary, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, guys. How soon do the Bear fans forget the little rift that they had with McMahon and Ditka?
Well, I got to tell you, you know, just from a Chicago perspective.
The problem is you just hadn't had a good quarterback since then.
Here's the thing. This is how we're starting,
no,
Gary?
But Gary, here's the thing. The Bears on draft day, the Bears won the draft when this story came out about Aaron Rodgers. So, like, I part of me felt like, wow, it's a pity we don't have a week to chew on that before the draft because it's so delightful. And then the Bears turn around and get Justin Fields. And you're sitting here looking at it like, hey, is it humanly possible that the Bears quarterback situation is better moving forward than the Packers because of what's going on with Aaron Rodgers? Is that humanly possible? Does that cross anyone's mind outside the Chicago area?
Yeah, it does. It's only crossing people's minds that are in the NFC North. That's about it. Mm-hmm. Not crossing my mind. Is it crossing yours?
Well, I got to tell you, I think the Packers are a different team if Aaron Rodgers is gone. And I don't know that Jordan Love is ready or is the answer or is going to be, you know, the following the tradition of Brett Favre to Aaron Rodgers. I mean, that's 32 years of hell for people in Chicago watching the Bears lose to those guys. And Rodgers, without Rodgers, the Packers, I don't even know that anyone's afraid of them anymore.
Okay, I'll play you a little game. And that would be, let's just say he's not Aaron Rodgers, Jordan Love, and odds are he's probably not. Let's just say he's Garoppolo. Let's just say he's Jared Goff. Let's just say he's Matt Ryan. Let's just say he's Alex Smith. That's good enough to get you 10 games in that offense.
Hmm. And do you think they believe that, like, in Matt LaFleur's offense designed for a much a comfortable plug-and-play thing? Because you're right about our quarterback starvation, Gary. This is what the Bears are defined by. So
everybody admitting that over there.
Oh, no, everyone.
100%. So we look at it and we're like, you have Aaron Rodgers. How could you possibly let that go?
Yeah.
But the way you're talking about it sounds like they, and maybe you, are comfortable with the possibility of life without Aaron Rodgers. We'd be terrified of that if we had him.
Well, heck no, I'm not comfortable with life without Aaron Rodgers. You'd be like a maniac to just really think that. Listen, I don't know what's going on over there with Rodgers, with Adam Schefter, and it's just spiraling out of control. But, I mean, what we do know is that Schefter and Rodgers, they are represented by the same people. So we don't know who's feeding what information. Schefter came out yesterday on Dan Patrick and looked like they threw him out on Front Street. Somebody said, you need to go get this cleaned up. And he went and did that. And so we don't know what to believe. But I'm 100% thinking that Aaron Rodgers will be the quarterback of the Green Bay Packers this upcoming season. I don't know what's going to happen after that, but he's going to be in a Packer uniform.
All right, so he's in a Packer uniform. What, just from your audience, are they on the Packers side or Aaron Rodgers side? What part of the dispute? What, you know, well, who's remaining friends with whom in this divorce?
Well, we got the same thing going on again that we had with Brett Favre. I mean, it's a split. You know, people are split down the middle. I mean, everybody know that Rodgers can be like a certain kind of diva, right? Brett Favre was that, you know, Wrangler, tractor, you know, cowboy hat, you know, work boots. Rodgers is caviar and sushi. And so Wisconsin is more of a farming community, so they kind of gravitate more to Brett Favre. So I would say that Rodgers is probably taking more heat than Brett Favre did.
It's really interesting, isn't it? It's like different brands of the same kind of diva. The you know, so it's interesting. So how you guys decode, you know, whether a report comes from Schefter or Rappaport and an agent and how that comes. That's interesting because we spend some time thinking about that too. How much of this so far do you think is by design from Aaron Rodgers and David Dunn to try and engineer an untenable situation that forces the Packers to move him? How much is from their camp?
Now you're talking. Now you're getting into the ball game. Well, I think there's something there. I don't know how much is there, but I think there's something there. Now, I don't think they wanted to come out on draft day, so I will give them credit for just being honest. I didn't think they intended for to come out on draft day. But Aaron Rodgers is unhappy. He's unhappy with the Packers. He's unhappy with general manager Brian Gutekunst. Everybody knows that. So to what extent all this, you know, does he want Brian fired, or is he mocking Brian and calling him Jerry Krause? I mean, we don't know all those kind of dirty details. And that's what's making this look so ugly, because it looks petty on Rodgers' part. So I don't know if they want all that to get out. But I do think there's a rift between Rodgers and the Packers organization. To what extent, I don't know. Now, Mark Murphy admitted that all three of us flew out to see Aaron Rodgers. I mean, that's just like they all flew out to go get to see Brett Favre. I mean, it's the same deal. So we know there is something going on. We do know that they offered Rodgers an extension, and he turned it down. So there is something going on with Rodgers and the Packers.
Yeah, I think everybody realizes that. I think, you know, you believe he'll be back with the Packers. There is talk about a trade. There's talk about him retiring. You know, he's a different cat. I mean, he's a guy that is estranged from his family. He's used to cutting off people. He's also in change mode. He's getting married. He's got new love in his life. You don't know how people are, once you get into change mode, you don't know how much you change. Is there a trade here? Could he retire? Can he force their hand?
Well, I think for Rodgers' legacy, he can't retire. He can't walk away. I think that hurt him. I think if you look at the voters, who's going to try to vote him on first ballot, do all that kind of stuff, he wants to be first ballot. I just think if he just say, I'm done and walk away, he can't do that. So, can he force their hands to trade? I don't know. The Packers, to me, seem like their organization. They're stubborn, too. It's about the G, and it's always have been about the G. They're going to do things their way. They're going to operate on their timeline. Now, do they want to get a contract done with Rodgers? Yeah, they're going to try to get it done. But I think they're going to play hardball with him. They may just let him sit there. And if he does that, that's not going to bode well for his legacy at the end of the day. And he's very concerned about his legacy.
I think you're crazy that they're a 10-win team with Jordan Love or some other plug-and-play quarterback, Gary. I think,
I've been called other things. Don't worry.
I think Aaron Rodgers is really good deodorant for a potentially stinky body.
I don't disagree with that. I was just making the point of, you've got all these other quarterbacks out there. Now, listen, if Jordan Love is a quarterback next year, most certainly I don't think that's going to happen. The kid's not ready to play.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, this is just being straight up honest. He's not ready to play. So they'd be lucky if they can win 6 games with this kid next year. So, I mean, now the Packers, you can see they're reconstructing their team. It's more about running the football than it is about an arm of a quarterback. It's more about the offensive lineman. I mean, you look at this team last year, best offensive lineman in the game of football. I mean, you had the best left tackle. You had the best center, who's now gone, but you had the best center in the game. Your left guard was in the top five. I mean, that offensive line has been tremendous, and they took, what, about 3-4 offensive linemen again this year. So they're turning this team towards a more, I would say, running game with the new running back with A.J. Dillon and Aaron Jones. So they want to run the football, go play action pass, and not put as much pressure on the quarterback to go win you games.
You know, what's fascinating is when you think about it, you look at Matt LaFleur, and here's a guy who's great friends with Kyle Shanahan, views him as a mentor, and then you find out that the 49ers are making phone calls and trying to get the quarterback and all that stuff.
They're not stupid either, yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's kind of fascinating to think about. And you know, here in Chicago, the buzzword is this this idea that there's consensus building and everybody's on board with the decision making, and Matt Nagy is getting more power. That is not the case in Green Bay. I mean, it seems like Matt LaFleur is watching all this happen around him without having a ton of say.
Well, that's what people think, and I'm not sure that's the case. Here's what I feel like is happening. They want Matt LaFleur to go save it. They want him to be the good guy. Because when they drafted Jordan Love, it looked like Matt LaFleur had some say into drafting Jordan Love in that so-called draft room war room. They're in high-five and they're laughing. Roger saw that. And now it feels like all of a sudden they're trying to have Matt LaFleur move away from that and trying to align himself with Aaron Rodgers. And that's what it feels like is happening right now.
Yeah, well, they had a bumpy beginning, and then they fused their minds and the offense, and it was awfully good. Bottom line, Gary, and obviously we don't know, but like, I think he's done there. I think he's going to find a way to make this happen. I really do. I think if anybody, he just doesn't care about the money at all.
No,
you know,
right,
he just. And Mully made the point earlier, the guy is successfully, I guess if that's a word, estranged from his family. He has ended other relationships. Like, he's all right with things ending. It sure seems like he just wants this to end by hook or by crook.
Right. Well, you know, he's made so far $270 million, just football money.
Wow. Yep.
That's not talking commercials, all the fours. You're right. The guy got a ton of money.
Oh, he's on commercials? So, I hadn't seen him on any commercials.
Yeah, right. The guy's made a ton of money. You're right. He doesn't need the money. I don't know. I just don't think that if it came to push to shove, if the Packers say, we're not going to trade you, would Aaron Rodgers walk away and go do Jeopardy? What, you think he'd do that?
Jeopardy and Monday Night Football as a combo package.
He was pretty good on it. He was good. No, I think he's going to play as long as he can.
You get that same adulation doing that than you do coming out of that tunnel.
Yeah.
But, you know, Gary, what I think is that the Packers are in maintain mode and hold on to what they have and make sure that you're always in contention. And Aaron Rodgers wants them to say, we're going to break the bank and we're going to get everybody we can for you and we're going to try to win a Super Bowl. And he, I think, you know, in terms of legacy, maybe he wants to win a Super Bowl and he thinks he can't do it in Green Bay because of the way they operate. And maybe
that might be what
is on his mind. But I think he still wants to compete.
Maybe. I would agree with that. But I will say this. And here's what we always say up here in Wisconsin. You know, we never really heard of guys in free agency saying, I want to go play with Aaron Rodgers. I want to help him win a Super Bowl. We hear that about Tom Brady all the time.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm going to go take a pay cut to go play with Aaron Rodgers. No, nobody's doing that. But you go look at Tom Brady, even when he was in New England, everybody's going there to help Tom Brady win a Super Bowl. Now he just won one in Tampa Bay. You saw all them guys, A.B., although I wouldn't want A.B., but A.B. wants to go play with Tom Brady. How the hell does A.B. want to go play with Tom Brady?
Yeah.
No, there's nobody speaking on behalf of saying, I want to go play with Rodgers to help him win the Super Bowl. I think there's something strange about that.
Hmm. Great stuff, Gary. Thanks a ton. We appreciate it.
All right, buddy.
Thanks, Gary. It's Gary Ellerson. Maybe there's a difference going to Tampa or going to New England than going to Green Bay. I mean, you know, maybe people don't want to go to Green Bay. It doesn't have much to do with Aaron Rodgers. It's cold and there's nothing to do.
Yeah, but it's
they had a museum once, but they had it closed.
It's interesting, though, because it's worth thinking about, because Brady is this ultimate team, rah-rah leader guy who seems legitimately to be that way. And Rodgers is quieter and more unique and not quite as magnetic personally. So it's interesting.
312-644-6767. It's Mully and Hall on the Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
I'm guilty of retiring early. And then come May, June, I start getting the itch again. And I could have gone back and played in Green Bay. But it was one of those things that the fans wanted me back, but I knew the organization couldn't tell me no, but didn't necessarily want me. And who wants to play in that environment? So our plan was initially, all right, if you go back and play, you're going to play in Green Bay. And then the relationship was such that, you know, and they were willing to trade me. It sounds like the Packers now are not willing to trade Aaron. You know, it's a tug of war. So it's similar, but also very different.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Matt Spiegel, kind enough to get up this morning and do the show because David's out, and Brett Favre there was on ESPN Wisconsin. And it's pretty funny to hear Brett Favre kind of separate himself from Aaron Rodgers but talk about the similarities as well. The big difference, I would say, is that Aaron Rodgers was in the wings and ready. He was rotting on the vine, ready to take over.
Three years.
Jordan Love is nowhere near ready to take over. It's a different, totally different situation. And, I look at it. You know, the Favre thing is extraordinary. I remember talking to a guy I knew very well who was telling a story about being at the in Atlanta. He was at a Christmas party with his wife. And, Brett Favre shows up like half in the bag and is like trying to pick up the secretary.
Oh,
and just like he's just a mess. And at the time, they had all these kind of born-again Christian types running the football team, and the next thing you know, they trade him to Green Bay. And, you know, the great Ron Wolf knows a quarterback when he sees one. So they make that trade, and Favre becomes Favre, and my buddy is sitting there watching the Super Bowl, and he says, he calls to his wife, like, honey, come in here. You remember that time when we were at that party? He was a Southern gentleman. He's like, that's that boy that was hitting on the secretary. Like, and he's now, like, you know, winning a Super Bowl with Green Bay. I mean, but it's like, you watch the evolution of different players and different people, and it's kind of extraordinary. Aaron Rodgers is a guy that went to Cal and has that Cal, like he's a very bright, super, you know, I mean, the guy won Celebrity Jeopardy. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean anything. When he was filling in for Alex Trebek, he's out there doing all of his, he broke down tape of Alex Trebek, watched all the, and he, if you watched him do that, and I watched every episode of it just because I was fascinated by it, he was so happy to be the host of Jeopardy. And I know that's kind of geeky, but I think it's awesome. I think it's super cool, and it speaks to a guy that is a bit more, he's just a different cat.
Right.
And I don't know. I mean, he's been in Green Bay forever. And we saw the picture of, the video of him in the back of the pickup truck with the beer, getting back to go out with the guys for a drink. I mean, it's not like he can't fit in someplace, but he's a different dude. He's a different guy altogether. Mm-hmm. And when Gary Ellerson talks about, do you hear guys wanting to go to Green Bay? That might be guys not wanting to go to Green Bay, man. I mean, seriously, the first time I went to Green Bay, I remember going up and seeing the building in the middle of nowhere and all the fans out there. And I said, oh, my God, how did they get this thing? And then by the second year, I'm like, oh, my God, how did they get this thing? It's just like it's horrible, you know? When you go there, the first time you see it, it's absolutely the most amazing thing because it reminds you of, you know, the Canton teams and all these football teams in the middle of nowhere America, and now you got the big sport, and here is this Green Bay Packers have a football team. Why and how and you know, they got everything is Packers. Everything, you go out to dinner up there, and everybody is sitting there. You know, the big decision. You know, do you want to wear the green jersey or should I wear the white jersey? You know, we're going out as a couple, and we're gonna. It's just ridiculous. that's all they have. And I'm not picking on them.
It's just the truth. That's what it is.
Yeah. And it's extraordinary. Then the more you go, the more you're like looking at it. And they have these traditions. So you go to training camp, and they have the facility right across from the building. And you go there, and little kids show up with their bikes.
That's the thing.
And then
I've
the
seen.
Players come off, and they jump on the bike, and they ride the bike in, and then the kid chases after him and gets his bike back. And it's just like the most glorious thing for the kid to be a part of that and all that. But it's like it's a part of America that's gone, frankly, right? I mean, we don't see that the athletes are now multimillionaires, and the more money people have, the more they separate from the people around them. And so you've got like a complete sort of economic difference between players and the fans and all that stuff. And, you know, again, it means everything. The organization, that team is owned by the fans. And it's a different mentality. There's no owner that's walking down the hallway and saying, "Hey, go out and get this guy and get that guy. It's time to win a Super Bowl." Mm. You know, and you don't have an owner saying, "I'm going to take over as the general manager, and we're going to get all these good old boys together." I'm doing my Jerry, but I'm saying it's just a totally different feeling. And all they want is to sort of maintain and be good enough and be good and be good. They never sell out to win. And Rodgers has been through that for 16 years, and clearly he's not blaming himself that he's won three MVPs and one Super Bowl. He's blaming them that he hasn't won more.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because I admire the ability of the NFL as opposed to MLB to have a superstar anywhere and have him be able to stay anywhere because of the equity financially and because the way that they collectively bargain and share the revenue and all of that. And I think it's healthy for a national league to have the ability to have, you know, Hall of Fame caliber people be in Green Bay their entire career. And that is inherently healthy. But if you're the Packers and you have these jewels and you don't do whatever you can do to get it over the top like you're talking about, that's a sin. That's a sin to not try and maximize that kind of thing. Every year, don't we see the stat like, oh, the Packers, they scout and they draft and they develop. They have more of their own drafted guys than every other franchise. That's because they just kind of sit back and let those guys play. It's not necessarily because they draft better than everybody. They just kind of use those guys. I think Rodgers is one of those people in a rare opportunity to truly just want to be happy and to win. And he wants to go somewhere where they're going to put every resource towards making the quarterback's vision of the team fulfilled to the max. And if he were in Denver, the draft picks, I mean, the first round draft pick in Green Bay since 2011, they've drafted one offensive player, and it's Jordan Love. That's the only one.
I know, it's crazy.
It's crazy. So he wants to go somewhere where they really just keep loading up and giving him every chance to win. And the Packers people, like Gary, you heard Gary talk, they get angry and a little bitter when they feel like they're not being valued the way that they value themselves.
We got to get going because we got to talk to Ron Coomer, and we'll do that next. But, you know, the other thing about them, they don't want to admit that the reason they have all their own drafted players is because no free agents will go there. So you're going to blame it on Aaron Rodgers when the reality is nobody wants to go into the middle of nowhere. And, you know, I went there one time for the Super Bowl. The true story, had about, you know, half a cup of coffee, took maybe a quarter of my cup of coffee, went into the building for about 6 hours, came back frozen solid. Frozen solid. I mean, it's like it is a cold day in hell if you're in Green Bay. And I apologize if I've offended anyone, but there you go. All right. 312-644-6767. We'll get your calls later, but we've got Ron Coomer next. Mully and Haw. He's Matt Spiegel on the Score.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.